and welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And we've got Rich Steripoli on the show today, retired Secret Service, and he is back, and he's always entertaining. So thanks so much for being on the show, Rich. Appreciate it. Love having you on the show as well. So, and guys, I'm going to whet the appetite in the stories that we're going to be coming in a minute. But first, let me go ahead and talk about our sponsor. So we've got our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearner.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor, and Two Bells, the Bethlehem online store at LeoRoundtable.com. So please check out the cool gear that we have, and FishOrlandoBass.com. If you want to hit a bass fishing charter in the Orlando area while the wife and the kids or the grandkids are doing the Disney thing, all you have to do is go to FishOrlandoBass.com. Hook up with Zach, who's got the fishing charter, or if you're more adventurous, do some alligator hunting. Rich and I were talking about that before the show. You can catch and release alligators. You're not killing them. Don't get excited, but it's a great opportunity. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFPE.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and also Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, the first story, armed citizens halt terror attack in Israel. And they're talking about the value of self-defense. And basically, the more good guys with guns, the better. Then we got an ex-Memphis police officers, plural, found guilty in the Tyree Nichols killing. They're getting a new trial. And we've got police footage showing a man slashing an officer in the neck with a knife. That happened across the pond. Knox County prosecutor says a grand jury is not necessary in a murder-suicide shooting involving an officer. We've got Illinois man charged after allegedly causing his girlfriend's miscarriage with pills. Second story we've had in reference to something like that. Body cam shows Indianapolis police officer shooting a suspect who killed two people over a $40 dispute. And then a man with a large hatchet fatally shot by Phoenix officers outside an IHOP of all places. If we have time to get to the last two, Port and St. Joe, they shoot a woman who's got a knife. And then we've also got police officers fatally shooting a Dallas lawyer who actually had cut off his ankle bracelet, and he ended up being armed with a knife. So we're going to get to all these stories, assuming that we have the time. So, Rich, if you're ready, let's start off with the main topic. Let's jump over to Israel real quick here. So on this one, armed citizens halt terror attack in Israel. And this is the it talks about the organization that it's the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. So it's called the CCRKBA. And this is at TampaFP.com, the Tampa Free Press. So a terror attack on a bus stop was cut short on Monday when an off-duty Israeli police officer, Israeli police soldier and at least one armed civilian fatally shot two Palestinian gunmen. And this is an incident that a U.S. gun rights organization, they're holding this up as an example about the importance of armed citizenry. And I have to admit, what a compelling story. So according to the report from the Times of Israel, the attack, it still left six people dead, a dozen wounded before the assailants were neutralized. But what you have to keep in mind is how much worse it could have been. Really, frankly, how much worse it should have been. It should have been much worse. The two terror suspects, they were just two, but they still were able to do some damage. Reportedly from the West Bank, they were praised by Hamas after other terrorist groups flouted the death. Now, the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, they said the quick response of armed citizens actually prevented further loss of life. The oldest human's right is the right of self-defense, according to their chairman, Alan Gottlieb. In a press release, he says the right knows no national boundaries. He goes on to say that the terrorists made the fatal error of expecting all of their intended victims to be unarmed, and apparently that's exactly what happened. The organization goes on to say that following the deadly October 7th attacks in Israel back in 2023, that the Israeli National Security Minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, that he expanded firearms licenses for Israeli citizens. And he said that this certainly vindicated that strategy. Goes on to say that the swift action taken by armed citizens when people are being killed or wounded before your very eyes, calling 911 is not an option. So, I think back immediately to all these cops that are involved in uses of force. Instead of taking care of business or finishing the job or getting the bad guy under control, what's the first thing they want to do, Rich? They want to get on the stupid radio. And This guy is urging police prohibitionists in the United States, at least, to recognize that citizen disarmament, it only creates more defenseless victims who cannot fight back. The organization has suggested that the incident's outcome, which validates the use of force by civilians, it would likely receive little attention from the international media because it does not align with the narrative of civilian disarmament. So there you go. Rich?
Hey, listen, you know, this is the woke liberal Dems will always yell about disarming the populace, right? Especially here in the States. That is ridiculous. It's never going to happen here, right? It speaks to the heart of the U.S. Constitution, the ability of American citizens, you know, to carry weapons, bear arms, that whole thing. However, some states have made it really, really difficult to secure a concealed carry weapons permit, long gun permit, whatever it may be. But I love this story. I'm a huge advocate of the citizenry carrying arms, right? There is, I can't even recall a story about where some armed citizen who went through the whole rigmarole of getting a pistol license, purchasing a pistol, carrying that thing, is out there committing crimes. It simply doesn't happen. If anything, there's your backup, right? You got a lot of jurisdictions where cops are working solo, where things are happening in the dark corners of a city or a town. I want some armed citizens backing me up, right? I can't say enough about the need for this and the utility of this. And, you know, every now and then you'll see a picture of somewhere out in Texas, a guy's walking with his family. He's got an AR-15 on a sling. He's walking into a Walmart or something. I think that's fantastic. I have no fear for that. I love seeing that guy out there doing that. I wish you saw more of that in New York, San Francisco, you know, Chicago. That would shut down a lot of the problems that we've got. So take a lesson from the Israelis here. Read that article. Big fan of that.
So if you're in Israel right now and you're a bad guy and you're thinking about hitting a place with weapons, that would give you a pause, wouldn't it? You know, not, you know, after something like this goes down. And then I'm just trying to translate it to the U.S. If you remember the Pulse nightclub in Orlando when it got hit, nobody was armed. This is Florida. I mean, we have concealed. Well, now you don't have to have the concealed carry permit anymore. But oh my gosh, I can't believe there was nobody armed. Now look, I guess I should preface that if you're in an alcohol establishment, they don't like you to carry. But really, what it boils down to is, are you under the influence? Is what the important question is.
Listen, one day I was in the courthouse, the Eastern District of New York courthouse, which sits right at the entrance to the Brooklyn Bridge. Early in the morning appearance, I come out and there's a guy breaking into cars alongside the courthouse. So I watch him a few times and he's busting windows, slim jimming cars. Well, the next car he's approaching happens to be mine. So I said, there's no way I'm going to let this happen. So the foot chase is on. I chase this guy onto the Brooklyn Queens Expressway under the Brooklyn Bridge, which is probably the most heavily traveled piece of roadway in the entire five boroughs. As I'm chasing this guy, now keep in mind, I'm in a suit and tie. This is some black guy wearing three pairs of pants and, you know, and a parker. It's like a hot August day. I look over to my side and some guy bails out of a car and he's got the beaded chain around his neck and a gun out. He's with me in the foot pursuit. We keep running. Some other guy bails out of his car. He's in a foot pursuit. Well, it turns out it's an off-duty cop and a DEA agent, you know, going into Manhattan to work. My point being, listen, if you're a cop, you know, I think it's fantastic that you can rely on the citizens to help you out and back you up, right? They're not committing crimes. Now, eventually we caught this guy and, you know, that's a whole other story, you know, why he ended up going to Bellevue Hospital before he ended up being
shoot.
But, you know, listen, that'll happen, right? It's a hot day and, you know.
It can happen. Yeah.
You know, you fall down and you shouldn't be in the road. Things happen. You know, I can't say enough about the utility of having an armed citizenry, right? They are not the problem. They're not out there committing crimes. It's the bad guys that are committing crimes, not the people that are going to the extent of getting permits and purchasing weapons lawfully, right? We can debate the merits of, do you actually need a 50 caliber belt fed machine gun mounted on the top of your Hyundai? You know, we can debate that, but that's not what we're talking about here, right? There's a ton I could say about this story. I love it. Keep it up.
All right. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah, the other side, the left, you know, perfect example on when you take away the guns from the good guys, you know, more good guys with guns is a good thing. But bad guys can always, I assure you. And of course, I'm not really talking to you, Rich. You know, I'm preaching to the choir, but I assure the people listening to the show that bad guys, if they want guns, they can always get a hold of guns. Rich was just telling a story about some dude getting ready to break into his car. And I don't know if he had a gun in there or not, but there's always homes and cars that are going to have firearms in them. And if you want it bad enough, and that's why this whole transgender thing, I'm not, you know, trying to prevent transgenders from getting guns. They can still get guns if they really want to. The optics, I have to admit, are bad when you have people that probably should be ruled as having some kind of mental issue, and they're able to put on an application to get a gun that they don't, and then they're able to get a gun. The optics are really not that great, so I have no issue with what they're proposing. But, well, Rich knows where I'm going with that. Well, guys, we're coming up on our first commercial break, so stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor at Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we all know we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources. And then when you throw the online option, it's almost endless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. We're actually going to give one away today. And hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card. They'll be your new best friends. I just ordered a pair of Danner boots, got those in. Beautiful. They were on sale, and they came. The shipping was great. And I think that you've got a pair of cargo pants, Rich, that you absolutely love that you got from Gauls as well. So, guys, Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And, you know, guys, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And, yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove of ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're joined by Rich Deripoli, retired Secret Service. And we just got done talking about Israeli citizens being armed, and we had an incident where we had an armed Israeli citizen, civilian, and that we had a off-duty soldier as well that neutralized an active shooter threat. So it was a beautiful story, Rich. It really was.
Oh, it was a great story.
Are you ready to go to the Fox 13 News, where we're going to talk about our Memphis officers real quick?
Sure can.
So Fox13News.com, ex-Memphis police officers found guilty in Tyre Nichols' killing, or they're going to get a new trial. So guys, keep an open mind when you hear this. So we got three former Memphis police officers. They were convicted in the fatal beating of Tyre Nichols. So we're talking about three of them, though. And we have Judge Cheryl Lipman issued a new trial order on Friday after defense lawyers argued that the judge who had presided over the client's case was biased in his belief that at least one of the men was in a gang. And it goes on to talk about Tadarius Bean, Demetrius Haley, and Justice Smith. Those are the guys that were convicted in October 2024, but it was of witness tampering that was related to the cover-up, and that they're going to get a new trial. And all were convicted of witness tampering related to the cover-up of the beating. But Bean and Smith, the three guys that I just mentioned, they ended up being acquitted of civil rights charges. And so we had some federal charges going on and some state charges. Haley was acquitted of violating Nichols' civil rights, causing death, but convicted of a lesser charge of violating the civil rights, causing bodily injury. He was also convicted of conspiracy to witness tamper charge, where others were acquitted. And the officers have been granted a new trial in the federal case. They ended up being acquitted of state murder charges back in May, and federal prosecutors were unable to get convictions on these guys on the most severe counts against Bean and Smith. And then we have two other officers that were charged, Emmett Martin and Desmond Mills Jr. They actually pled guilty before the federal trial. And so that's where we're at. So these three officers are getting a new trial. Any commentary on that, Rich?
Yeah, I think there's two takeaways here. One, the defense lawyers arguing that the previous judge was biased. You know, there's something you don't see every day, right? A biased judge, right? This has become the norm, right? And I think as a police officer, especially when you take action and you make your appearance in court, you know, let the attorneys handle it. Be careful what you say, because these judges, although they're supposed to be the upholders of the law and the dispensers of true justice, the foundations of our liberty, you'll find out that they're anything but that. Most of these guys really are biased. They don't like the police to begin with, and they're there to do their own, to push their own agenda. So be careful with these judges, but you're going to see more and more of this, these types of cases getting overturned. You know, the other thing that I like to mention is be careful what you do as a police officer post-incident. With all these body cameras, these dashboard cameras, the ability of people to pull out, you know, multiple iPhones and iPads and record everything, listen, be careful how you conduct yourself, because whatever happens post-incident, that can be introduced at some sort of legal action, and that could end up hurting you afterwards. I realize the adrenaline rush is there. You're saying things, you're doing things. That could have cost these guys tremendously. Watch what you do after the incident.
So you're saying like a high five or something would not be a good idea necessarily?
Exactly. And thank God, you know, the one shooting incident I was in was well before any of this cameras and all these audio recordings and everything else. And, you know, it just made things a little bit easier. Just something to keep back of your mind, fellas.
Good advice. Good advice. Well, guys, moving along, let's go to our story. Our first story with a video component, at least anyhow. And Rich, we can take these out of order. In fact, I likely will, but I'd like to start off, and I think you want to too. Our brothers and sisters across the pond, you know, where they got, one of them got stabbed in the neck. Let's grab that one first. Rumble.com. This is Butters, the name of the channel. Police footage shows a man slashing an officer in the neck with a knife.
Hello, Big Luck.
Hey, come on in. Yeah.
Right. Jesus Christ. You got a knife?
Let go of that knife! No!
I've got a knife,
yes?
Yep. Put your hand behind your back now. Right, you're locked up. For attempt section 18, two threats to kill. Release your hand now! Release that hand now! Put your other hand behind your back now.
All right, let me get cuffs on.
So listen to how this goes down. So we're in Kimberworth Park, Rotherham. So this is the South Yorkshire Police in Britain. They've released body cam footage showing the moment that a man slashed a police officer in the neck with a knife. Nothing that you want to experience. And this guy's been jailed after attacking the officer with a knife. And a team responded to reports of threatening behavior when this thing happened. So there's body cam footage. It shows Glenn Liddell. He's the bad guy. He's charging at the officer when he and his colleagues enter the house in Kimberworth Park, Rotherham, and back in July. He ends up, well, you know, it's kind of interesting when he charges the officer. He has the knife in like a hammer position, you know, and he's trying to strike the officer. And the officer, I thought, did a pretty decent job of redirecting the direction of the knife, but he still gets stabbed in the back of the neck. The injured officer and his colleagues, man, they are in the fight. And the officer, I remember at the end of the fight, saying, "Hey, am I bleeding?" But they managed to restrain the bad guy. Then they remove the knife and then they arrest him. The second officer also has injuries to his hand. It doesn't get descriptive though about what those are. Detectives described it as a quote, disgraceful act of violence. And I don't think they're used to seeing that over there, but multiple people have reported that the 46-year-old bad guy, that he was, he had aggressive behavior towards a female and that he was assaulting her. And then he ended up, when he went to trial, he pled guilty to wounding with intent, they call it over there. And he's been placed in jail for 4 years and 6 months on the sentence. So there you go. Secret Service sacked Rich Deripoli.
Well, I'll tell you, you're right. In the UK, they're not used to seeing these things, particularly as you get further and further out into the hinterlands and away from London. But if you do go over to London, you will see more and more armed cops. And there are procedures and protocols for the responding officers who are still unarmed to call in the armed presence to deal with this ever-growing level of violence that they're seeing. In this particular situation, you know, you got two unarmed cops, and I give the UK cops all the respect in the world for being able to enforce the laws and keep the peace unarmed. right? That's something they've been doing for 200 years. Yet, when you think about it, the two most dangerous things a cop can ever deal with is a car stop, because you simply don't know what's in the vehicle, and that car itself is the weapon, and going into someone's residence, right? These guys walk into the residence, they're petting the dog, they're talking, it's very close quarters. Guy comes running out with a knife, and one of the cops gets stabbed, and, you know, the fight's on. It's a great reminder to remember, no matter where you are, no matter how safe you think that area may be and how removed you are from the violence of the big city, anything can happen when you walk into somebody's home. You don't know what you're walking into. Even the most simplest call where, hey, somebody calls to check on their grandma, how do you know this lady's not going to jump out of a closet with three guns and a hand grenade? You don't. You have to be prepared for anything to happen.
All right, good point, and perfect timing. So, guys, commercial breaks, we'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles, and yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing, and Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And, you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the air builder approach domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And stay tuned, because the M4 E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards, they hit AeroPrecisionUSA.com last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, meaning you can start getting your hands on this primo stuff. And their M5 AR-308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Again, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by retired Secret Service Special Agent in Charge, Rich Steripoli. And we've been talking about a use of force over across the pond in Britain, where we had multiple cops entering in a residence, and one cop got stabbed multiple times, it looks like, in the back of the neck, and another one had an injury to his hand. I'm assuming it could have happened while trying to grab the knife. I don't really know exactly how that happened or what the extent of those injuries were, but we're kind of wrapping up, you know, that use of force. Rich, the floor is yours.
Well, I'll tell you what, just picking back up on the UK police and their hesitancy, if you will, to have all their officers carry guns. This is a perfect situation. You know, why the cops didn't roll into that house with a couple of, you know, riot batons, something like that, a shield, or even the glove, that would have been a perfect situation for something like that, right? If you got it, because at some point you got to lay hands on someone. And if you're going to do it, you got to have some sort of defensive weapon here. And they just didn't have it.
Yeah. Good point about the glove too. What a great application for the glove, because you still have access to your weapon too.
Yep.
But yeah, they could have ended this before it even started. Yeah. Well, are you ready to go? We got to cover that lawyer story. I just can't stand it. I can't hold it any longer. So you're ready to cover the lawyer story?
Absolutely.
All right. So rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. A video shows police officers fatally shooting a Dallas lawyer who was armed with a knife. Of course, they throw the lawyer mix in there to make him sound like some fine, upstanding citizen.
Hey, Martin.
No, you guys
bring it
already. I'm done with this shit.
Martin!
I'm done with this shit.
How you doing? Put it down! Put it down!
No. Martin, drop the fucking knife!
Put it down, Martin! No, drop the knife! Drop the knife!
Drop the fucking
drop
knife!
Drop it!
Drop it!
Drop
now.
The knife!
Drop it now!
Ma'am, come out here!
Police, don't move!
Let me see your head!
Hey, back up, back up!
Back up, back up, back up! Back up.
Tase again.
But they don't tell you until you get way into the article that the guy, before he cut it off, he was wearing an ankle bracelet. So, and I'm not talking about the jewelry. So Dallas, Texas, police released a video of an officer involved in a shooting that ended with the death of a man that was armed with a knife. And they share more details about what happened in the moments leading up to the death of Martin James Benz. He's 46 years old, or was. The officers initially responded to his home on Tuesday evening. They said that his mother had called 911 to report that he was threatening to harm himself. And so on the phone, on the 911 call, she's saying, yes, very emergency. My son is suicidal. And so in the call, in a separate text message to dispatch, family members told police that Benz, or bad guy, was acting erratically and suicidal. And so, look, when I use the term bad guy, because there's going to be people listening to the show that say, well, he's got a mental health condition, why are you calling him a bad guy? If the bad guy is non-compliant with police officers' commands, guess what? They're bad guys. So this guy was non-compliant. He's a bad guy. So body cam video released on Friday shows officers arriving at the home. They knock on the door. Mom answers. The officers talk to her on the front porch. And in the video, it also shows our bad guy approaching the officers in the back from the hallway, who were standing near the front door with a knife. So as he's coming at them with a knife, they back away. They're giving him verbal commands. And like I said earlier, he's not following them. So he chases them out of the doorway. They go into the yard, and then he turns back and goes back inside the home. And his mother tells officers that her son had cut off his ankle monitor. Okay. Flag. Ding, 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 ding. So as a result, Dallas Police Chief David Cummings, he said that there was a warrant issued for insufficient bond for an aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and family violence charge that he had related to a pending case. So this guy had an outstanding warrant. The warrant was issued because he cut off his ankle monitor, and according to the chief. So they send out a right care team, and it includes officers, licensed mental health counselors, and they're trying to convince our bad guy to surrender. So this happened after the incident that I just described, where he chases the cops out of the doorway. But they don't get the bad guy to come out. They've got all these licensed professional people that are designed and trained to work with these mental health situations. It does no good because the bad guy doesn't come out. So at about 11 o'clock at night, a SWAT team ends up getting called in. And they send in a robot into the home, and upstairs they see the bad guy on film. He's sleeping in bed. He still has a knife in his hand. So SWAT, they actually move in, go up the stairs, and they enter the bedroom with the bad guy sleeping. He's freaking oblivious. This dude is freaking sleeping with the knife, and they kind of surround him in the bed. Now, you know, Maybe the planning, it was pretty impressive up until this point, at least in my mind. So as he's laying in bed, you hear an officer say, hey, he has a knife. He still has a knife in his hand. So the hope was, and this is what they hoped, that when they tased him, waking him up from a dead sleep, that he would drop the knife and that they could take him into custody without incident. Well, that's not exactly what happened. So they tase him, all right. So this guy wakes up from a deep sleep, and he's going through the taser cycle. He still has a knife. And he jumps up. He sees that he's surrounded by, you know, by people, and they start retreating, and he tries to chase them. They try to tase him again, and he shortens the distance with them. He still got the knife, and they end up firing their weapons. And unfortunately, that's the way it ends. So it would have been nice if we had a better ending, but that's the way they did it in Dallas. And of course, this guy was a lawyer, but, you know, he did cut off that ankle bracelet, so maybe not a good lawyer. Rich Steripoli.
Yeah, listen, the fact that he was a lawyer, that's just a ploy by the media and his family and his attorneys, although, you know, post-mortem attorneys, to try to bring some credibility to this guy. The fact of the matter is, this guy's an EDP. He's a whack job, right? Look at his past. Hell, Jasmine Crockett's an attorney, and she's one of the biggest whack jobs we've seen on the international stage, right? So the fact that you're an attorney does nothing for me. You can send in all the mental health professionals that you want. The guy's got a history of being violent. This is a police matter. If the fire department responds to your house and it's on fire, before they put the fire out, do you want all sorts of fire professionals showing up to try to maybe put the fire out and go in and see what the source is? You want them to put out the friggin' fire, right? It's the same thing when you call the cops because you've got an EDP on your hands and a violent person in your home. Let the police do their job. All this other stuff, superfluous nonsense. You know, unfortunately, the guy, you know, ends up dead. But hey, listen, that's the way it goes, right? The police didn't wake up that morning and say, we're going to go shoot this guy. He's an attorney. He cut that bracelet off. They responded to a situation. The guy escalated the situation. And this is how it went down. End of story.
Yep, totally. I totally agree. So great breakdown, Rich. Thanks so much. And guys, if you're ready for another update, I think it's time. We've got Tampa Free Press at TampaEPI.com. An Illinois man charged after allegedly causing his girlfriend's miscarriage with pills. So yet another story, a different story. And I just can't, it's hard to wrap my head around this. So an Illinois man has been arrested and charged with intentional homicide of an unborn child. He allegedly caused his girlfriend to have a miscarriage by selective or by secretly giving her abortion medication. So Emerson Evans, he's 31 years old of Bloomington. He was taken into custody after police responded to a medical emergency call at a local apartment. And according to a statement from the Bloomington Police Department, officers arrived to find a pregnant woman in distress, and she was subsequently determined to be experiencing a miscarriage. Ouch. The woman, who was approximately 7 weeks pregnant, reportedly told police that Evans had been pressuring her to terminate the pregnancy. And court documents say that when police arrived, they found her crying in the bathroom with a significant amount of blood. And during the investigation, Evans, or bad guy, admitted to giving the woman abortion-inducing drugs without her consent. And he allegedly told investigators that he was helping make the decision for her, and he believed that she knew what she was doing. He reportedly claimed to have purchased this drug from an individual at a nearby college campus for about $50. And he's been charged with two counts of intentional homicide of an unborn child. And under Illinois state law, the charge carries the same potential prison sentence for first degree murder with a penalty of 20 to 60 years in prison. Wow. Rich?
Yeah, another fine, upstanding citizen. I mean, look at this guy's arrest photo. This guy's been a guest of the state before. Right. And what he's doing, you know, his self-administered abortions. Basically, he poisoned this girl. Who knows what the hell he gave her? Right. Unfortunately, this guy didn't end up in the same situation as that EDP attorney did in the last story. It was a great loss to the citizenship of the United States. What a piece of work this guy is. He belongs in prison at the very least for the rest of his life.
You know, these stories are important, I think, because, you know, as you know, young cops that maybe you work for an agency where you don't get a lot of action. Maybe you haven't, you know, had a homicide yet, or you get a call like this. It's good to start thinking in the mode on, you know, little light bulbs start going off. And so you have some situation like this where a woman and some guy gave her a pill, or she's having an abortion, or maybe, you know, she has a miscarriage and she had a disagreement with the father, the baby's daddy or something. Maybe it'll get your brain going in the right direction on considering a criminal investigation on stuff like this, because it happens. And this is the second story we've covered.
And it's interesting, you know, most people that are cops or become cops are relatively young. They probably come from, you know, decent backgrounds, and they're looking to do the right thing. How do you explain a situation like this to some 22-year-old or 19-year-old kid who's becoming a cop that this stuff really goes on? Which is why becoming a cop will expose you to some of the craziest, most violent things you could ever imagine, and even beyond that. And this is a great example of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of sick people out there. I mean, literally. And they're only limited by their imagination. And most of these guys have better imaginations than we do. The stuff they come up with is like, wow. So
And you can sit around and try to debate what the guy's motivations are and what spurred him to do this. But the bottom line is, and you put it perfectly, there are a lot of sick, violent people out there, and that's just that.
Yeah, I agree. And the motivation doesn't matter, you know? So yeah, I totally agree. Well, guys, if we're coming up on our next commercial break, stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more info. Again, gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable and leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host for a law enforcement talk show. We're joined by Secret Service, former special agent in charge, Rich Steripoli. So thanks for being on the show. And Rich, anything else on the last topic? Or are you ready to move on?
No, let's keep going.
All right, so our next one, Rumble.com. This is Butter. Now, Rich, I've got the Knox County prosecutor saying a grand jury unnecessary in a murder-suicide shooting involving a police officer.
She broke the window out of my car.
She went out there and did her thing.
No, I want to go home.
Okay. Sir, come on out here with me. Sir. Yeah. Sir, come on out here with me. You can get a shirt on. What do you have in your hand?
A gun.
Drop the fucking gun! Drop the gun! Shots fired, shots fired. He has a gun. Get over here. Get behind me now. Hey! Let me see your hands!
What?
Let me see your fucking hands!
Dad, chill out, man.
No, don't be doing that dumb shit.
Let me see your hands!
Here!
Drop the gun!
I don't have a gun.
Yes, you did! Come out here with your hands! Get out here right now with your hands up.
Come on, drop the gun. Your granddaughter's in the house, man.
Get her out. Is she out?
Say, all units fine and just reload.
Yes. Get your ass out here with your hands up. He's barricaded. If you wanna come out here with your hands up now. Come out with your hands up. I think it's the fuck, you got smoke.
Get out.
He's deploying smoke inside the room where we're clearing the house.
Is that the one you want to start off with in Knox County or?
Sure, why not?
Okay, so Knox County. There you go. So we're talking about deputies here. Knox County Sheriff's Office deputies respond to a 911 call. This is on June the 5th at 1:21 in the morning. So it's early and it's dark. Deputies enter the house to find Loretta Belts Frazee and a guy named W. Lloyd Ray. They're both in a back room. And it kind of looks like a mobile home. So Belts Frazee, the female, calls the officers from the back room saying that Ray, the dude that she's back there with, had injured her. So Ray comes out of the back room, and it says they ends up firing at deputies. And Deputy William Cottrell returns fire, but they say his shots did not hit Ray. And what I can tell you is that this bad guy, Ray, comes up to the officer, turns around, walks away, and the officer says, hey, don't go anywhere. Hey, come back. Don't go back. And the guy stops at the doorway to this room that the female's in, but you can't see his hands. He's got his hands in front of him. And the officer says, hey, what do you got? What do you got? What do you got? Next thing I hear is a freaking gunshot. You know, so I know they say that this guy shot at the deputy, and the only weapon I see them referred to that he had was a .22 caliber rifle. I don't know where he got the rifle at, and maybe you saw more than I did, but I couldn't really figure out how he got access to the rifle when he had his back to us. And when the gunshot went off, I certainly didn't see a rifle pointed at the officer, but I definitely heard the shot. And the sound of the .22 rifle going off was like a ping, ping. It was just like a small arms fire, you know, .22 is, but it wasn't very loud. And but the officer's gunfire certainly was. So then it says that our bad guy fires additional shots at the deputies who take cover behind their vehicles outside the home. And then our bad guy later takes his life with a .22 caliber rifle. They say it was determined during the course of investigation that our bad guy set up a fire extinguisher to lay down a cloud cover of smoke between him and the deputies. And sure enough, deputies initially thought it was a fire. They're like bailing out of the trailer and hitting the parking lot because, you know, of all the smoke and stuff. And they also safely removed a child and another resident from the house. As well. And at one point, the woman said that the bad guy, had actually shot her as well. So look, a lot going on in the story, a lot to unpack. Rich Steripoli.
Yeah, a lot to unpack and a lot going on is an understatement, right? when I watched this, and the minute I saw that guy appear in the doorway, I said to myself, "Ah, this is going to be a problem." And I can only imagine the headspace that the cops were in when they rolled up to this situation. Yeah, you're right. When I heard the shot, it sounded like one of those carnival rifles that they give you to shoot out the little red star, you know, small caliber 22, a nail gun type of thing. Kind of irrelevant, right? Because they ended up with the female dead as well as this guy dead. The, you know, the responding officers return fire. And as is always the case, right, they fire who knows how many rounds and it miraculously doesn't hit anybody. You know, but the end result is you got one guy who looked like he was either cooking meth in there or, you know, working a still, making Everclear, is dead now. So, you know, none of the cops got hurt. I think it was a good outcome. Are there questions about who actually shot? What's sure. But I'll leave that to the local investigators.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. That was an interesting analogy. You know, if he wasn't cooking meth or distilling, he was certainly missing a good opportunity just based off what he looked like alone. So yeah,
what a waste of a perfectly good trailer. You got to be doing one of those things in there, right?
Dude, I'm so with you. So yeah, you're absolutely right. So. All right. So, and we got enough time to cover another one, I believe. So let's go with our next one. Also has a video component. Rumble.com. We're still at This Is Butter's channel. Body cam shows a Indianapolis police officer shooting a suspect who killed two people over a $40 dispute. It's kind of amazing. Some of the disputes or the justification people use, you know, people obviously don't have the same value of human life that guys like us have, Rich. So Indianapolis, video released by the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department shows officers, they shoot a guy after he points what appears to be a handgun at police officers. So the suspect, Michael Hendricks, ended up surviving, but James McGuire and David Dottie did not survive because Hendricks is the guy that killed them. So it says that previously they had detailed how Hendricks, our bad guy, admitted to shooting McGuire and Dottie, the guys that died, on March the 28th over $40 debt. And police ended up being called to Riley Place in response to a double shooting. They found the suspect, Hendricks. He ended up walking away on the side of the street on the city's east side. And in the footage, you can see our bad guy walking down the street. And then a cruiser pulls up in close proximity behind him, and then another cruiser behind that one. So our bad guy kind of like glances over his shoulder, and then he sees the cruiser. And so the officer hops out of his car on the driver's side, demands that Hendricks show his hands. Hendricks immediately starts walking backwards, and he's keeping his body. He's partially facing the officers as he reaches into his sweatshirt pocket. Now the officer's still yelling for him to get his hands out of his pockets, and our bad guy pulls out what appears to be a gun from his sweatshirt pocket, points it at police, and then they light him up. And he ends up being hit by gunfire, goes down right away, falls to the ground, and the handgun was unloaded with a magazine. There was a magazine in it, but the slide was back. It was unloaded. And our bad guy admitted to shooting and killing both McGuire and Dottie, the guys that died. And in August, he was sentenced to 90 years in prison. And I'm kind of looking here at my show notes and stuff. Yeah, we got some unbelievable video on this thing. And I think that's pretty accurate about how it went down, even though the story left some stuff out. I kind of threw it in from memory, but Rich, your thoughts on this? You got a little less than 3 minutes.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think the description of the story matches the video narrative incredibly well. You know, the bottom line here is, here's a guy that reaches into his jacket, his sweatshirt, whatever. The police tell him, let's see your hands, and he produces a weapon. So of course he's going to get lit up. End of story. What did you expect? You know, but once again, you know, the media is going to play up the fact it was a dispute over $40. You know, this poor guy for $40, you know, he loses his life. You know what? These people don't value anything, and they will kill you over $40. They'll kill you over a parking spot, right? We've seen this before. So put that aside, just like that last story with the EDP that happened to be an attorney. That's totally irrelevant. This guy was confronted by the police, told to show his hands, and he did, and he happened to have a gun in one of them. And he got killed, you know, he got shot for it. You know, too bad. 90 years, good riddance. We'll see you in 90 years, my friend.
So I got to ask you, Rich, yeah. Was this guy that he ended up being shot, but was he a good candidate to go to law school, you think?
I think he probably was in law school, right? So we shot we shot another attorney for no reason whatsoever. This guy could have been a U.S. congressman or a senator.
Ah, right? There you go.
unfortunately, the big bad police ended that career, and the United States and the taxpayers will never benefit from this guy's his foresight and his mentality. It's our loss.
Good way to put it. I know Todd Irving likes your sense of humor and talking about Everclear. I suspect that Everclear is bringing back some memories for Todd that I'm very curious about. I would love to hear the Everclear stories that are going through Todd's minds right now. I suspect that there's a emotional connection there. So and I'll just leave it at that. So, wow. Like drinking grain alcohol, right? So
it is. Absolutely.
And so I don't think that we have enough time to cover another story. We're down less than a minute. But at least at the very least, it's very easy to discuss things in hindsight, right? Because we've got the benefit of seeing all the information the officer didn't have at the time that the stuff goes down. So for the most part, I'm pretty pleased with how officers responded and all these things. I mean, the people across the pond are certainly going to, learn how to maybe do things bigger and better, because we've got more and more people that have mental issues that are armed with knives and stuff. And when you're showing up without lethal, you really are kind of limited in what you can, on what you can do, how you're going to disarm somebody, right?
Yeah, but, just to be clear, we're not here to second guess anything that the responding officers are doing, unless it's so blatantly obvious. But that's not the point. The point here is to put the story out, give a little bit of background so all the people listening and watching can put that into their toolbox of stuff and use that as a lesson so that when they're in the same situation, they can handle it better and safely.
Totally agree. Well, another great show. Thank you so much for being on the show, Rich. Appreciate it. And whenever you have your book coming out, we will promote your book for no extra charge on the show as well. So, Like Rich has to pay to be on the show. No, I wish I could afford to pay everybody. They certainly deserve it. But especially, I don't think I could afford it when you and Frank are both on the show together. We couldn't even afford to pay you guys. You would more than double, your appearance fee when you guys are together. You're just out of control.
Frank's got a lot of money. I'm sure he would say, just pay me what you would pay him. And that'd be fun.
Wow. Hey, I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at the woundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in the world of hurt. And we also want to mention our title sponsor, Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, FishOrlandoBass.com, the fishing charter. Thanks for the support, guys. We'll look for you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.